Okay, hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Michele Bussolotto, and as I can see, can you see, I'm going to explain you what we did for the last years about uni, trying to bring all this stuff from the bare metal to the cloud. So yeah, quick intro. I'm Michele Bussolotto. I work for SUSE, working remotely from Italy. And yeah, I'm the team who try to deal with this containerization stuff and migration to Kubernetes, Podman, and we are trying to do our best and having some fun. Besides that, I'm also a Tomcat RPM maintainer, and here you can see my contact. So, as we already said during this conference, finally Uni is also an open source project. We're very glad about it, but probably also someone of you know how was Uni first released, because probably you were here, I wasn't, but it was during the OpenSUSEcon and during 2019. And so it's a code that it's a project that is pretty new, but it was forked by from Spacewalk. Spacewalk, I didn't know actually when it was released the first time, so I checked. I also found the first layout, how it looks like, and it was on 2018. So a lot of years ago, 18 years ago, lots of things are changes in technology. Kubernetes was not invented yet, Docker as well. I found out that the first changes for LXC was in that year. So we were just starting to play with containers. So lots of things are changed, and if we have a code base that it's been somewhere for a while, you need somehow to change something to keep it updated. So. Yeah, probably someone of you doesn't remember how it was to install it from scratch, but you might have some different problem. So there was not just a step. You need, of course, before to upgrade the OS, update the repository, run some script. So not so easy. I mean, it was fine for being a whole project, but probably needs something to be modernized. And also Uni, in general, when you have this major upgrade, you need also to upgrade the OS, always OpenSUSE, and then you just need to use that one. Upgrade was quite painful sometimes. It was not just one shot. It might require days. And then, if you had a production system, lab, staging, it was quite difficult to have everything sync up. So we tried to modernize it, tried to move to the container for make it easier. And the easiest things for the first time was to deal with the proxy. So, probably you know how it works, the Uni server, but you can also have proxy where to cache the packages, have something more on the edge near to the client. It was the simpler choice for us because it's something smaller. The code base is not comparable with the server. It's stateless. It's edge friendly, so it was helping also to be more in contact with the minimum. And it was a good place for starting to understand which is the best way for moving to the container. We found out some problem, we fixed it. It was a good way for understanding how to move forward. So this is the status right now. So we have 5 pods running. They might can run in Podman, but also on K3S and RK2. And after we have this first approach, we need to take all the big beast, the server. As I said, it was quite complicated. Also, if you had a look at the documentation, there were several ways for doing things. So our approach is to create a new tool, manage RDM, to try to rule them all. So with just that tool that is supposed to be used by the administrator, you can install, you can upgrade, so you can do all the maintenance stuff. But besides of that, you can do more things. We are adding lots of functionality there, so you can set up the configuration, also rename. It also configure all the systemd units. We try to to ship everything in that package, so to be the only the single point of truth for everything. So yeah, it's what we figure out at the starting point. It's not just ship a container, but try to ship a deployment. And the cool things about the manager at DM is you provide that package also for Ubuntu, Debian, CentOS, whatever. It's just a single RPM. So the first approach, as I said, proxy was quite simple, I would say. Server was more complicated. So on the first instance, that was what happens 2 years ago, if I recall correctly, we just put everything inside a FAT container. So it's the one that you see on the left. So we have, these are the processes that we have in a Uni server. So of course we have Tomcat, Soul Master, that is, the center about everything, Cobber, Apache, everything. So everything was installed in the bare metal. We just put inside the container. And yeah, we were using also systemd for that. It was the easiest things to do for the first approach. We figured out the first problem, such as how to deal with the persistent volume, how to have some single point where to save fire, otherwise after a start everything is not persisted. So it helps a lot. But yeah, the obvious move that we have then is try to split up in a better way. So this is the status that we have right now. So we still have a big FAT container with the server. Yeah, we are still using systemd on that. There are some processes that are there, but yeah, we are starting to split things. So the Postgres database was one of the first choice, because yeah, it have more sense to have the database separated in that way. But yeah, beside the database, right now we have also the TFTP displayed, and also this container it's present in the server and in the proxy as well. And yeah, we have also other optional container for a particular scenario, such as if you are using Hub, you also have the Hub XML RPC container. But yeah, also Coke attestation and Saline for all the different stuff. So all these different containers can be installed by a manager at DM, can be upgraded by a manager at DM, can be restarted singularly by manager at DM. Instead, when you have the FAT container, you just need to restart everything. So yeah, we start to do our best for splitting things and having something nicer. As I said, this is not just the matter of course, having the container. You need also to build something around it. So this is the status right now. Yeah, as I said, the first option was just put everything in the FAT container. So, for example, for SSL or configuration file, you just needed to connect to the container inside and change the file manually. So after we have some experience, we figure out how to deal better with it. So for example, right now we have the configuration file where you can host all the union's name, of course, the time zone and other information that are used during the deployment. So just one configuration file where to store everything. And then, of course, the podman secret. So on the first instance, the password was plain text in the configuration file. It was in the bare metal. But yeah, right now we have the podman secret either for the password, for the user, but also for the certificate. And of course the volume. We still have some separated volume. For us, was easier to deal with that. All this stuff are handled by manager at DM and are required for starting in the correct way the server. So after that, this is a change that happened quite recently, I would say. And another thing that we figure out is that it was the Distillation. So on the first instance, manager DM was basically running the script that in the bare metal you were supposed to run manually. It was not optimal, of course. There was some problem. It's not the way it was supposed to be, but yeah, it was the easier things that on doing on the first glance. But yeah, now we try to tackle it better. So manager at DM about the installation upgrade, it's somehow dumb, I would say, and everything is stored inside the image, inside the init entry point. So basically all the script that we had, we put it inside the container, so the container is consistent as everything, and yeah, we try also to clean it up to figure out to show better which is the purpose of each script. So these are called during the init. We have something quite similar for the upgrade. So nothing particular on ManagerDM right now. When you are storing on Podman using ManagerDM, basically yeah, it configures stuff, but all the logic is inside the image. So just to recap, so we have the pods, we have the images that are booting Bootstrap itself. We have the configuration, the configuration as an environmental file. We have a place for storing secret. We have volumes. So why not Kubernetes at this point? This was somehow the approach we have, that try to clean it up everything and then moving to Kubernetes was somehow natural because we have the pods on Podman. So in the exactly same way, you can create an Helm chart with the deployment. As you can see, we have one deployment for each of the pods. The image that Bootstrap itself means that you can just start in the deployment. You do not need. We had some experiment, of course, at the starting point. So we have some setup job that are no longer required because the image Bootstrap itself. The configuration file are moved to some config map. So also in this way, you just have a YAML file where you can store all this information. It's created by the Helm chart, and all the information are stored there. About the Podman secret, we decided not to put that in the Helm chart. It's something that should be run manually by the unit administrator. I mean, it should be the best way for dealing with this stuff with Kubernetes. And for the volume, exactly as it was for the deployment. We have this PVCs file that creates all the volume. Of course, to Kubernetes add something on top. It was not just these things. We also need the services to configure all the port, all the connection, and also all the network stuff. So the TCP route, gateway, whatever. It's something that is present, of course, just in the Helm chart. But yeah, we figure out a way for providing it. And another thing that was quite easy, I would say, is that how to configure a real environment. So you can see on the left, this is a real example of my machine. So for creating this one, we have also another repository, which is that Unichart that contains some example for people who are not so confident with Kubernetes for try to provide some information for configure everything correctly. So for example, in this case, we have several templates for it. The one that I was using in this case was the one that used self-signed certificate, but we also have some example with OpenBow. But I just take the values from the Unichart repository. I configure with my data. I mean, you can see my password, but it's a test environment. Don't worry about that. Using these values YAML with Helm install, it just creates what we saw before on the right. So the deployment service, everything is set up just with a single command. Okay, right now I was talking in general about Postman and Kubernetes, but it's the configuration that we tested so far. So right now we are testing the Anarchy 2, everything. All the information are of course present in the unit documentation. About the ingress controller, we tested it with Traefik, but yeah, you can also use in Gateway API. Also, it's not recommended so far. So, so yeah, we also have some tests with, of course, with the storage. Right now, the one that we use most is Localpath, but yeah, there are also GSOC students that try to benchmark other storage ways. So, yeah, by now it's the Localpath, but we're moving forward. And yeah, the CNR, we don't have any special requirement. And of course, we need a kubectl for deal with all the environment. And yeah, Helm chart of V3. So yeah, as I said, it's not strictly, it's what we tested. We'd like to test all the scenario. Feel free to contribute for that. But yeah, right now is the one that we suggested that we tested. But for example, I also try using Quadlet. It seems that it's working. It requires some love, but it's not so bad. Also for K3S, it should not be a problem. But yeah, this is what we test so far. But yeah, as I said, lots of time right now, and also as you see in the note, in the note right here, we are still using systemd in the container. So we are not fully cloud native. We are aware of that. But yeah, as you can see, lots of things was. we try to build lots of things, and yeah, we still have this point that we need to tackle somehow as soon as possible, probably. And yeah, it running systemd in Kubernetes might have some problem that I'll describe you later. So yeah, as I said, the installation is just one single command. So you take the Helm chart from the OC, you configure the namespace, you configure the values in the way you prefer. And yeah, there are some other actions that are supposed to be beside the run Helm install. I try. What we think is that. It should change also the role about the unit administrator using Kubernetes. So probably you might have a cluster administrator that deal with all the stuff with the cluster, and another one that is dedicated for the unit admin. So yeah, this is the step that are documented. So the cluster admin needs to create the namespace, set the RBAC probably, set the storage, as I said, traffic, expose with traffic the TCP port required, and yeah, some settings about the security. On the other hand, we might have the uni admin that of course set the credential secret and also provide the TCL chain. So yeah, now some not so nice screenshots from my terminal. So as you can see, I was in this laptop actually, and running kubectl, you would see it was a very simple installation, but you would see that we have on default two pod up and running, the uni and the DB, running for 7 days. Wow. And yeah, this okay, quite complicated, but I'm trying to explain you. I would like to show that with kubectl now I was looking for the logs and shows that yeah, all the logic about the init is just inside the script that I showed you before. And okay, probably you see nothing about here, but yeah, I was just showing the deploy, CV, PVC, ingress of the Unity server. So there are lots of things. It was just to show you that yeah, it's not just a matter of deploying the container, but yeah, with the command that we are actually creating lots of stuff, PVC services, and yeah, at the end you will see lots of things in your cluster and in your Nest space. So As I said, what we know there are still some problems. We are trying to tackle it. We try to identify some of them. Feel free to also to discuss if you see something something else or open an issue. But okay, the big problem that we have. I try to not to hide it. it's the systemd inside the container. This is, I mean, besides it's not correct, it also implies that you need to have all the security configuration, Aparm or Linux, whatever you are using, configured in such a way that systemd can run inside the container. And yeah, the pod, the other two are quite connected. So the pod, the server pod, is still a monolith. It still contain a lot of services. It's not optimal, of course. And but yeah, we keep it in this way also because it's connected to the other problem, single replica or only. So right now, this kind of process. Cannot be scaled because it's not configurable, and everything would be wrong if you try to scale it. By the way, I was referring to the server. For example, Salin, you can scale it. Also, if I recall correctly, the Cocoa Attestation. The other one, you can scale it, but not the server. Because we need to clean it up the things in order to have something separated. Once we have separated it, we have a real advantage. We might think about to scale up. So, yeah, we know that. We are trying to take it sooner or later. And there are also other problems. Find the logs is not so easy. Also, so if you have a problem, it might be complicated. In some cases, you might need to connect inside the pod. We try also here our best for showing everything is the logs, but yeah, something might be missing. And at the end, as I said, we started splitting up the database. But at the end, what would be really, really great would be to have a separate database at all. It can be an external that it can be configured. So yeah, we are trying to do all this stuff. Lots of things funny will happen. Try to do our best. So. Yeah, some of the resources. So the uniproject.org is where the documentation is. You can find our code on GitHub. And also in Matrix, we have the project uniproject user, uniproject devil for being in contact with us. Yesterday and every last Thursday, we have the community hours. Feel free to enjoy or feel free to contact in the way you prefer. And I think this is it for me. I don't know if there are any questions.
Thanks for a nice presentation and a nice overview, and nice that there are so many steps forward in getting this running on Kubernetes. Two things. You are currently testing only on RKE2, but you mentioned K3S. Mm-hmm. Is that planned to test on both and support both of them, as both of them are closely related to the whole SUSE Rancher ecosystem and would be first-class citizens?
Okay. About this one, do you have also another question? Or? Okay. Well, but about K3S. Okay. Right now, probably I was not clear. Okay. But right now, the proxy it's in K3S and RK2 as well. By now, it's something that probably we can discuss. The reason why we had RK2 is because. We were quite worried about all the security stuff, so it was more complex in such a way. So yeah, we take the big beast on the first side, and then. But I don't see great limit on the technical point about K3S right now. I think we can discuss it. Yeah.
Okay, that would be great. And the second question: how do you plan to go forward with the getting the server? Pod cloud native, Thinking about different containers inside the pod first, or do you want to go separate pods for each thing, or what are there any plans or ideas yet?
We are starting to figure it out. For example, for the proxy, what we have is just one single pod with everything inside. So yeah, it's something that started. On the server, by now, we just have a separate container at all, because in this way, it's also easier the connection. I mean, one of the main points is to have the same code for Podman and Kubernetes. So in that way, in Podman, you can have easy systemd file that startup are quite clear. I mean, you can do have also with Pod, but in this way, for us, it was somehow simpler. So yeah, in the proxy we had in the other way, yeah, it's something that we are going to investigate really soon. We need to understand the advantages or cons of each one of the choice. I'm not sure by now what is the first what we are going to say. I mean, right now what we are looking is the way for substituting systemd. I mean, there are some projects, 6.6. So yeah, we are trying. First, to understand which is the best way for doing that, and then, yeah, the next question will be the one that you asked. If you have any idea or any suggestion, I think we are glad to hear about it.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking forward to a progress report next year's conference. That would be great. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, question? Okay, so thanks.
Okay, does the microphone? Yeah, it does. Okay, so hello, good morning, everybody. My name is Jiří Šrajn. I work as product architect for SUSE. And what I will talk about today is about SUSE Linux Micro getting merged to SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, and what the implications are for the OpenSUSE, the project, and the code base, and the products. I will first summarize the products which we currently have based on the code base. What are the benefits as well as drawbacks of having separate SUSE Linux, separate products, general server and micro, both on the SLES and or SUSE Linux and OpenSUSE side. I will also talk about how the rolling distributions are handling the situation. I will quickly talk about how we hit the reality of the code base and its readiness for immutable systems. I will mention the plan for the future products, and at the end there will be some time left for question and answers. So, which products now we have? First, we have, let's say, classic Linux distributions. Basically what we have been using since decades. Normal Linux distribution can have just a single file system which holds pretty much everything. At the same time, you have the freedom to separate some parts of the file system, typically for data, but even for the system itself. It can be separated across multiple partitions and multiple file system. Everything is read-write. You can update and or install any package at any time, and the updated package will be ready to be used instantly. You run everything directly on the host, meaning if you need a web server, you just install RPM package with web server and it runs on the system. If you need database, you do exactly the same. Then a bit of fun may come if they are not coming from the distribution and may need some conflicting libraries. But everything is really run directly on the host. One other point is that you have usually no stable point to return if something goes wrong. You can modify the file system at any time. Typically, you do that, and if suddenly something stops working, it's not entirely easy to return back to a stable state. On the other hand, we have the immutable systems. They require very specific setup of the file system, where large part of the file system, including the root partition, including /usr, are not writable at all. They are read-only, and some other parts are handled as read-write subvolumes, typically those where you need to store your data, like /var or home directories. If you want to install or update any package directly on the host, you cannot do it directly. You need to create a new snapshot and to activate it. Yes, we have a transaction update apply, which is a shortcut in many cases working. But the clean way to activate a new snapshot is to do a reboot, which on the one hand means